Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For cause the night cometh when no man can work. And we're swiftly facing an impossible task of working during the rising darkness of the storm that is swiftly gathering upon the church of this end time and the saints of God of this generation. In John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. A real man of God will not seek to please himself, nor the church, he or the people he preaches to. He'll have one objective: please God that sent me, and speak the words that he gave me to speak, and do the works that he sent me to do. And he could care less of what people think. Most preachers today are people pleasers. In verse 36, he said, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which a Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And he goes on and on and on to make it clearly evident that God had sent him to speak a word of wisdom and eternal life, to represent God and be his spokesman. All again, so many times the Lord made it evident, I didn't come with a message of mine own. I didn't come to represent me. In fact, he told Thomas, he said, when you see me, you see the Father also. And he wasn't talking about the same person. He was talking about representing the Father in his glory. Yeah. I'm representing my Father so concisely and perfectly that when you see me, then you know what the Father's like. Amen. Any fool can understand that if you want to understand it. In John 6, verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He was always doing his Father's will. That's the way you know the man of God today. He'll do the will of God and preach the word of God. He'll not tickle ears with some soothsaying message that he learned in some cemetery or nary or whatever you want to call it, or a theology book, or some denominational echo. Most preachers are echoing what they've been brainwashed to back in some of their earlier days. But I'll tell you, a man of God, even if he has been erroneously taught some things, the Holy Ghost will visit that man and correct those errors in his life and in his message, so that when he does, God sticks him out on the front line and puts him on the podium as a spokesman for the Lord. He speaks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And his life will back it. His life will back it. Jesus told us again and again, you'll know the prophet by his fruits. Praise God. Anybody's a fool to go around and criticize a man until they know something about his fruits too. The Bible calls people fools. I'll tell you, there's a lot of foolish Christians around, start blabbing their mouths before they get their mind in gear. They don't know something and still start talking. In John 7, Jesus continues in verse 14. He said, now about the midst of the feast, he went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Speaking the word of God, when you do it fearlessly, when you do it with the anointing of the Spirit, when you do it knowledgeably from the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, then you're seeking the glory of him that sent the speaker or the anointed evangelist. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keepeth the law. That's the way the church does today. They want to go around and criticize and judge. And that's the way the people of Jesus' day were. They were always quick to criticize the prophet and try to kill him just as quickly as possible to quiet that message. That was a message of confrontation, a message of reconciliation, a message of rebuke and reproof. The only kind of a message that can turn a backsliding church back to the Lord must come from the lips of a prophet, not from a pastor or from an evangelist or somebody. All right, going on. In John the 8th chapter, beginning verse 45, Jesus said, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words." He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. That's plain enough, isn't it? Person not of God, he's not going to believe God's words. You can preach your head off, argue, debate, whatever you want to do. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well, you are a Samaritan and have a devil?" Jesus answered, "I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth." Jesus came to glorify his Father. And because he sought to glorify his Father, in the 12th chapter of John, the Bible said the Father decided then that he would glorify Jesus. Verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Jesus was praying. There came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Then in the 17th chapter, verse 1, "These things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son." Praise God, now it's time for me to get a little glory. I've obeyed you. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, let's see if you didn't. Glorify thy Son. You don't get the glory till you finish. Too many out here trying to get glory and you haven't finished nothing. A lot of these preachers, they want the glory, but they haven't done nothing to get glorified for. You've got to suffer. You've got to be faithful. You've got to finish. So Jesus said, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Hast thou given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, or life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I'm finished now, Lord. Glorify me. Praise God. It didn't sound that way when he was on the cross, however. It just didn't sound like he'd won very much glory when he was out there in agony on that cross. Let's take a look at that as his last words. The last words of Jesus Christ in John the 19th chapter, continuing. Verse 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." God had glorified him in putting a pronouncement of respect and trust. Lord have mercy, that's a wonderful word. The Lord glorified him in saying, "This is my Son, I'm well pleased with him." That's glorification. We're living age children of God like to sing like Job, you know. Oh, I'm like Job, you know. I just put my trust in the Lord. Yeah, but that's not the main part of it. The main part is having the devil to go before God to get permission to try you or me. And God saying, "I'm going to let you go try him because I trust Job. He won't curse me to my face even if you take everything he's got." Let me tell you something. Most Christians, God don't trust them. Most preachers, God don't trust them. Amen. They say, "Oh, I trust God." That's not the point. The point is, does God trust you and me?